Our Tormentor by Duncan Eastwood, read by Anne M. Richardson. It's surprising how much you can remember. My brother never stopped fighting right up until they slit his throat. The last time I saw his eyes filled with anything other than terror was seconds before we were captured. We were play fighting in the field when the man with the cap grabbed my brother by the neck. I was trapped between the instinct of wanting to run, but also wanting to help my sibling. And before I could make a decision, it was made for me. The other man with long hair grabbed me and ushered me gently toward the vehicle. He spoke softly, "Come on, come on." While the capped man's form of coercion involved violently dragging my brother as he kicked and screamed. The man with the cap giggled, but when my brother's lashing out struck him, the laughter stopped and the blows began. My brother was hit in the back and then in the leg. I could see his eyes dim a little with the sensation, then glow with surprise and fear as the pain began to circulate. My brother would keep fighting, but there would be consequences every time, so my journey was quieter as I reasoned that if I could just stay away from the pain, there might be a chance to escape. The man with the hat pushed my brother onto the truck. He turned, grabbed my ear, and threw me inside. My head crashed into the wooden slats lining the side of the vehicle. I searched for my brother, but this wasn't easy, as there were so many others in the darkness with us. Their bodies were difficult to make out, blending into one another, but their eyes stood out like darting fireflies in a cave, filled with the same terror that I could see in my brother's eyes, and that was no doubt bursting from mine. Where were we going? Why had they gathered so many? What was the purpose? There were so many questions, and as some talked to each other, I realized no one knew the answers. The truck doors separated and we stumbled into the light, struggling to keep balance as we tumbled down a ramp into a wooden corridor. Many rushed ahead into an open cavity up ahead, the only exit from the corridor. I stayed back until I saw my brother in front and ran toward him. We embraced long enough for me to feel his heart thumping in his chest. We both turned as we heard the clang. At the end of the corridor, the cavity had closed. A metal door had dropped and cut off one of the others. We could hear him screaming, the sound of his feet scraping on the concrete floor, then another clang. Silence. The door rose again. No one was inside. He was gone.
"Next in line,"
the man with the cap yelled. The next in line was my brother. We were both pushed into the corridor. It was so tight we couldn't turn. My brother in front of me tried to swivel his head, his eyes pleading as he pushed back and into me. But I had nowhere to go. We were jammed against the back of the corridor, unable to move anywhere but forward. Even though forward was the only option, my brother refused to take it. The man with the cap leaned over the wooden corridor with a large metal shaft and touched it to his behind. The shock sent my brother's legs kicking as he scrambled to get away from the electrified prod. He called out to me as he moved toward the open cavity. I didn't know what to say. My attempts to calm him were futile. Laughing and angry at the same time, the man with the hat cruelly prodded my screaming brother down the corridor until his legs splayed and he collapsed to the floor.
"Stop playing around and get him in here,"
yelled the long-haired man. My brother called one last time and I cried out. I tried to run toward him, but the metal door slammed down, separating us for the final time. I stared at the dull, gray reflection. And on the other side, I could hear him trying to break free, smashing against the walls. The two men yelled again, and then that clang. Silence. Then I heard my brother kick again.
"Oh, can't you do anything right?"
a voice bellowed. Then another clang. Silence. This time it remained so. Then the sound of the men laughing. I was the only one left in the corridor, no one behind me. The man with the cap walked along the gangplank. I wanted to run, but had seen how pointless that was. He walked toward me with only a metal stick in his hand and indifference in his eyes. He raised the prod and brought it down on my left leg. A jolt surged through my body. My flesh pulsated with the electrical charge. The power forced me forward toward the metal door, which now opened again. My brother wasn't in there. No one was in there. Just shadows. The man with the cap smashed the prod into my back one last time. The agony was immense. My body smashed against the wall like my brother before me. The shadows enveloped me, and for the first time, I was on the other side of the metal door when it slammed down. I shivered. Then the long-haired man's large hand grabbed my ears and brought a pistol to meet my forehead. He pulled the trigger. The hiss roared in my ears as the bolt ripped through the pistol's chamber and penetrated my skull, driving into my brain. I kicked like my brother before me and smashed against the walls.
"Geez, two in a row?"
The man with the cap laughed.
"You're garbage at this." "Screw it. He's dead enough,"
spat the long-haired man, now with a hook in his hand. And in one movement, he brought the sharp end down into my ankle and clean through the other side. The blood was pouring out of my foot as he connected the hook to a conveyor rod attached to the ceiling. Hanging upside down, the blood raced down my body to my head. The long-haired man now had a large knife in his hand. My pleading had ceased long ago.
"This is the last cow. You skin him after this, okay?"
said the long-haired man.
"Sure, you're doing a crap job of everything today anyway,"
replied the man with the cap. The knife came to my throat and sliced across it. My blood cascaded onto the floor. The man with the cap brought his own knife and plunged it into my back, cutting across it. I felt the skin being ripped off my body and the cold on my internal organs. The blood continued to pour from my neck. Before you die, it's surprising how much you can remember.